Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how great Toyotas do in the snow, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and joining me in the studio for episode 357 of the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast is Father Christmas himself, Jimmy Jett. How are you doing, Santa Claus?
Bah, humbug.
But yeah, that is not what this episode is about, Jimmy.
Oh. Oh, sorry. Is it doing, about man? Giving gifts?
Kind of. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, things are going.
Yes, they are.
They're rocking and rolling. We'll talk about what's going on right now, probably on a future episode coming up here.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, no, things are going really well. We are working on getting all the Christmas orders out for Morphlate. So it's kind of crunch time now to make sure that we uphold our promises.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And other than that, yeah, that's taken up a lot of the time. So.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm officially caught up with snail armor.
Look at you bragging. Yes,
I know. It felt good. And then I got a bunch of orders in.
No. So that didn't last very long.
No, but I should be able to stay ahead. I'm sort of back to the way it was pre Black Friday sale. But, as you've experienced in the past, after you kind of throw a big sale like that, all of the product goes out into the real world and then everybody in the real world sees it and then more people order. So now sales this week, at least, are averaging higher than they were before Black Friday. So
nice.
It's good. Going well though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good, man. Yeah. Lots of good stuff. 'Tis the season. Hopefully everybody's gearing up for a fun Christmas, fun holidays. Hopefully you guys get to spend some time with some family, with some friends, whoever you do want to spend time with and not who you don't want to spend time with.
That would be ideal. Yeah. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Christmas is coming up. Are you all set and ready?
Nope.
No.
No. I maybe, well, for the people that I need to buy Christmas presents for this round, right? Because mm-hmm. I do a whole bunch of presents over during Thanksgiving, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. I'm maybe halfway, maybe a little bit more than halfway completed mm-hmm. with what I need to get. So,
okay,
that's yeah. I've got a few that I just have no idea. Like my mom, I'm like, I don't know what she wants.
Get her some like some really fancy yarn for knitting with.
She doesn't knit.
Oh, get her some really fancy quilting designs.
Yeah, some squares, some mm-hmm. specific patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, are there any like really rare patterns? I know nothing about quilting.
Yeah, so. No. What I'm thinking about is they just moved into a new house. What do they need?
Yeah,
that's sort of where my mind's going.
Yeah, there's I mean, they're all up on the fun technological things they've been putting in the house.
Yeah, that's so true. They just got a robot vacuum.
Oh, like a...
like one of those.
Just the little round ones?
Yeah, the little round ones that drive around. My dad, he's funny. He's so anti... What do you want to call it? He's completely against the idea of letting people try to confidence information from him. I don't know how you kind of say that.
Yep.
So he is like, this vacuum cannot connect to the internet because people can go connect into my internet through the vacuum.
I mean, technically, yeah.
I mean, he tells a story about how, like, you know, he was reading on Reddit one day that somebody got into their internet security through the wireless connection of the fish tank.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, but what are you really trying to hide? And he'll say, I'm not trying to hide anything. I just don't want people getting in.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Do you really think they're going to attack you through your vacuum cleaner, Dad? Yep. Okay, whatever.
The answer to that is to use nested routers. So you put all of your Internet of Things devices, IoT devices, on one router. Mm-hmm. And then you put all of your personal stuff that you don't want people poking around in nested behind that router so that you can then block off any traffic
to the second
router. To the second one, yeah. But it's, you can still access it on an internal network through that router. So that's what I do.
Got it.
I do nested routers.
Cool. Well, now you all know.
Yep.
But yeah, so they didn't get one that connected to the internet. Mm-hmm. He's like, why do you need it? I'm like, because I could start it right now when nobody's home and it can drive around my house and make all the noise it wants and nobody can hear it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it is kind of loud, huh?
Especially when it runs into stuff. Have you seen the video that somebody took one of those? One of the big YouTube kid guy. He took a Roomba and programmed it so that when it hit something, it yelled profanities.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it would like scream bloody murder. Like,
ouch.
Yeah.
But other words.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Now I've always just seen the cat.
Yeah.
That rides around on top of them.
I've always wanted to mod our Roomba because we have one too, but we keep losing him. He gets stuck underneath things and we'll come back from like a trip and we'll be, Rudy's gone again. We have to go find him.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Rudy.
Rudy the Roomba.
Ours is named Slinky.
Slinky.
Because the assistant used to have a dog named Slinky and it would clean up all the food and everything that the mini assistant would drop. Oh. And then the dog passed away and then there was a lot of food under the mini assistant's chair. So then she got a robot vacuum and then she named it Slinky
because it cleaned up.
It would clean up.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, cool. Welcome everybody to the Robotic Vacuum Podcast.
Right?
Oh man. No, that's always fun. Fun stories about different things going on in our lives. But today's episode, this is Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Which means it's an odd number episode, which means we get to talk about what we've been up to and things we've been doing. But before we get to that, we got about talk about things we're planning.
Future casting.
Future casting for the month.
Yeah. We've got two presents going out to two lucky winners or to a lucky winner each. How do you say that right?
Yeah. One each.
We have two presents and somebody is going to win one of them and somebody's going to win another one.
There you go. That'll work.
One of the presents is coming from me. The better present is coming from me.
Debatable. The more alcoholic present probably.
Yeah. Probably. And the least or the lesser, the shallower, the cheaper present will be coming from the man on the other mic. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw in some rods, 7018 rods and some 4043 rods and some zip ties and a churro.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I'll throw in like toilet paper and hand towels and I guess cold medicine is on high demand right now.
Maybe
I'll
throw
some of that in there.
Yeah.
Because we just literally, so back to the parents' house.
Oh, here we go.
I never needed to clean out the guest bathroom at that house because that side of the house was not getting remodeled. Mm-hmm. And that bathroom is functional and could be used. Mm. And so now that the parents have moved in, they're like, get all your crap out of the guest bathroom. And they gave me this box and it was like 3/4 full of like cold medicines, you know, NyQuil or DayQuil or like cough medicine, like pills or, you know, I don't know, Dramamine or whatever the hell was in there. And the assistant was going through. She's like, oh my gosh, this stuff's like really valuable right now. Okay, whatever.
Is it in short supply right now?
Yeah. Is it even up to date? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Start a black market on Jimmy's cold supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So somebody might get some NyQuil that's already been opened.
Nice.
Yep. That purple drink.
Oh man. So yeah, we're going to have two presents to give away to two lucky winners. If you guys want to get in on that, make sure you're signed up before the end of the year.
Yes.
Not just the end of the
month. Yeah. December 43rd.
Yep. Yep, that's definitely the end of the year. So you can do that over at irate4x4.com in case you guys did not know that by now. In order to sign up over there, you got to get an account on Irate, which is no charge. And there's a lot of really cool things you get access to and conversations you get to play along with once you have that account.
Including the Toyota Forum, which is awesome.
The Toyota Forum does have a lot of fun things on there. The Toyota Forum is, I believe, didn't we talk about this?
Yeah, you said it was like the second most active.
Mm-hmm. Second most active.
Behind Ford. Mm-hmm. But Ford had less threads.
Yep.
They had one thread of Super Duty axles that just demolished any other thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think those statistics are a little skewed a little bit, and it's really the Toyotas rule the world. So
true.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, we got that over at irate4x4. In order to get signed up for the presents for this month, you got to go over or down to the Snail Trail 4x4 forum. And once you're in there, if you're on a computer, the signups for the giveaway tier and the $5 tier are going to be on the right-hand side of your screen. Nice green buttons there. And if you're on a mobile device, they'll be down at the very bottom of the page.
Yes.
Same thing. Nice green buttons. So you'll see them.
And you can get into the $5 tier also, which is the access to the secured forms on iRate and on the Facebooks.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows you to get tokens 6 months earlier than the general public.
Yeah. Yep. So pay attention to that. We haven't had any tokens found recently.
No.
So
Trevor, where you been?
I know, right? So there's still quite a few out there. And we're working on cutting some more here. So hopefully once the snow melts, we'll be able to go out and put a bunch more down somewhere.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got the tokens as always. We got the Facebook group you guys can play around on. There's the iRate forums. There's, you can interact with us over on Instagram, which is a lot of fun too. So yeah, man.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about our tire episode with Yokohama last Monday?
I thought it was a very informative podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The Drew and Ryan were wealths of knowledge. Any question that we had for them, they were like, they already knew the answers to.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't even have a script. We didn't give them a script. We didn't preload them with questions or anything. You know, we just said, this is the general things we want to talk about. And they nailed it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun chatting with them. And I'm excited to test their tires out here in the winter and see how things go.
Yeah, I got to test them out a little bit over the weekend, so we'll get into that a little bit here in the episode. Yeah. But
excellent.
I went out and I actually looked at my the 40-inch Yokis that I have on the 4Runner, and I found the load indexing that they were talking about.
Yeah,
I found a bunch of other stuff too. What
load rating are they?
Mine are 124s.
Oh,
I believe 121 or 124. I forget which one it was. Which is a D rating. D load rating. And that'll come into play later in the episode. But okay. Yeah, I also found out that I only air them up to like 30 PSI, 30 to 32, somewhere in there for driving around the road.
Okay.
And they state that the cold PSI should be 50.
Wow.
In there. And I'm like, does that mean I'm running them incorrect? Does that just mean that I'm not getting the full rating of the load D rating if I don't run 50 PSI?
It means in the morning you need to have them at 50 PSI, but when the day warms up, you need to lower them back down to 35.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that. So anyways, I thought that was a really fun episode. I learned a ton about tires, which was fun for me. I love tires. I think there's a lot of really neat things you can do to accomplish different tasks and get different characteristics out of the tires that you're looking for. So hopefully everybody kind of grasped some of those concepts of, say, if you're doing high speed desert stuff versus rock crawling versus mudding, what are the differences in the tires you want to be looking for? But yeah, it was a lot of fun sitting down with those guys and learning.
Absolutely.
About it,
so. And thanks to Yokohama for everything you've done and putting that together.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Let's see. What else do we got on the docket for today?
We got a gift.
Oh, we do. Over here. It's a box.
It is a box. Good job, Tyler.
Thank you. I'm very observant.
Is it a square or a rectangle?
It's a rectangular, three-dimensional rectangle. Because rectangles are technically two-dimensional. So.
So then is it a cube?
No, because a cube is equilateral sides. Equal sides. Anyways, this is a gift from Spartan Ropes.
Yeah.
From Nye over at Spartan Ropes. He heard apparently a few of our episodes recently where we've been talking about their recovery ropes and kind of the cool stuff that he's been doing with the company in changing it. Not really changing it, but getting some American-made products, doing load rating testing on it, braking strength testing. And he sent us a couple of hats as a thank you and just kind of a to say hi and a Merry Christmas. So
these are nice.
These are super nice. I didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, these are really, I really like the quality of the patch on them.
I do too. It's got a patch on the front, a rectangular patch, not square.
Yeah.
Black and yellow, his colors, and it has the Spartan logo and it says Spartan Rope on the front. And it's a rubber patch, not a embroidered patch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a, what is it called? A flat bill snapback trucker hat.
Yeah, I've never actually, I don't think I've seen a hat with this style of design on it where it's almost flat here and then goes up with another seam on top of your forehead.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen this sort of layout either. It's got like a crown to it where your forehead would be. And then it's sort of flat on top back to the ball detent. I don't know.
The button that holds all the things. Yeah. It's a really interesting,
super clean.
Yeah.
I really like it.
It's a good look. So
thank you, Spartan Ropes.
Yeah. Thanks, Nye over at Spartan.
And he did message me and he said that we've had a few people use the discount code here recently.
Oh, cool.
There is a discount code. It's Snail Trail 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. Mm-hmm. If not, it's Snail Trail. I bet it, I'm pretty sure it has 4x4 on the end.
Yeah, I thought it had 4x4 on it. We'll put and Brian on that real quick.
10% off on Spartan swag and ropes and soft shackles and whatever else I think he has.
Yep. So that code does have a 4x4 on the end of it. So Snail Trail 4x4.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Mm-hmm. About time he does some work around here.
Right.
All right. So
what's hilarious is he doesn't even talk to defend himself. We can make all the fun of him in the world right here.
Yeah. He refuses to get him on a microphone. So
he's looking, he did give me a pretty stern look right there though.
Yeah, whatever. He'll get over it. Oh man. So, cool, man. How was your weekend?
It was very wet.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It freaking dumped here. Started, I think, Friday, like, afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And pretty much rained all day, all night, Friday night, all day, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few patchy sections. And then I think Sunday was pretty mellow. I think it scattered showers.
Mm-hmm.
But I drove during like the worst time possible down to the Bay Area to go to a buddy's 40th birthday party.
Nice.
Yeah. And we had a great time. It was fun. We watched some of the soccer game. We football, the World Cup for everybody out there. France versus England. Group game. And had a good time. Had a few drinks. The assistant drove, so I had a few extra drinks. The mini assistant came along. There were some kids there, played. We hung out, pretty much stayed into the semi-late hours and drove home and had to carry the mini assistant to bed because she was passed out in the back of the car. But we had a good time. It's fun to, you know, to some extent, I was telling this as we were driving home. You know, I've spent so long trying to build Snail Trail 4x4, like YouTube side of things, that it took a lot of my time away from my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm not necessarily doing the YouTube thing very much at the current point in time, I feel like I'm dedicating a lot more back to my friends.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, connect those relationships back up that I didn't want to lose. But it's good. It's fun to, you know, it's fun to have friends. It's fun to, you know, be able to go out and do things and fun to support 40th birthdays.
Man, yeah.
I'm getting old.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a gnarly wet drive though.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't white knuckling it, but I did scare the assistant a few times. And not necessarily. It was just, you know, there's points where you just can't see.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like mist and things coming up from all the cars and big heavy rain and you know, I put Rain-X on the window before we even left.
That was gonna be my question.
Yeah. And it was just, I was purposely falling behind like bigger trucks like F-150s or, you know, or even slightly, you know, to a full size 350 or whatever, you know, like bigger, heavier vehicles. And mm-hmm. we were in the CRV mm-hmm. and I was just trying to put my tires where their tires were. That was
before
my,
the
like,
water gets back.
Yeah.
Into
before
it.
The water comes back together. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, just stay in their tracks and yeah. I'll have better success in yeah. making it. But by the time the assistant drove home, that wasn't really raining that much. I think we got some rain down in the bay and then we had fairly clear driving home for the most part. Mm. So
it that was on Saturday.
That was Friday. Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Saturday was nasty, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you were.
It was definitely where I was. Yeah. But I mean, Friday too. Friday was rainy as well. It was, yeah. My big thing was I got home Friday and I was like, let me see, where did I leave off with everything? Because I think we had talked about putting my transmission back in. Mm-hmm.
You'd put your transmission back in. You'd put it 4 bolts in, but didn't torque them down.
That's right. Okay. So yeah, I had to finish, you know, putting everything in, putting it all back together. And I did that earlier in the week and I went to try and drive it. I think I did it Thursday night actually. And I went to try and drive it and it wouldn't go in gear.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I was like, what is going on? And I started messing around with it. And I was like, okay, I can still get it into gear with the engine off, which means that the clutch is not operating properly.
Okay.
And so I was like, what is going on? And I felt like a pretty light pedal, clutch pedal. I was like, what is, And so I went in, I started messing around with the pedal with my hand and looked under to see if maybe the bracket was cracked. It wasn't. Bracket's fine. But I started playing with the pedal with my hand, and I could get it to like pop back out half of the way. Like it would go halfway to the floor without any resistance.
Interesting.
I was like, so, okay, I probably just need to bleed it again then.
That's what I was thinking.
I was like, I don't want to do it tonight. It was already late. And so I did it Friday morning. I bled the slave cylinder and tried it again. Nothing. Mm. And so then I was like, I wonder how far out of adjustment the pedal is. Like, is there just an adjustment that needs to happen because it's a different clutch setup? It's no longer a ceramic disc with a 1600 pound pressure plate. It's a organic disc with an 800 pound pressure plate. So maybe the throw of the pedal needs to be adjusted. So I adjusted that and it started working. So that's all it was.
Started working or?
It was working. It worked fine. Okay. Yeah. After that. So I was like, cool. And so I drove the rig around on Friday just to make sure that everything worked throughout the day. Because on Saturday, we're supposed to be going up to Uncle Tom's cabin.
Yeah.
There was a toy drive being put on by the Jeep herders.
Where are they out of?
I want to say Georgetown area, Placer Jeep herders. I forget exactly what they are, but they're one of the original clubs that's heavily, heavily involved with Jeepers Jamboree.
Okay, cool. Probably Georgetown then.
Yeah. And so they did a big toy drive at the Jeepers Jamboree office. And then after you dropped off your toys there in Georgetown, you got to go up to Uncle Tom's.
And did they give you like a drink coupon or something?
You got a raffle ticket.
Raffle ticket.
Yeah. I think you got a raffle ticket and then you could buy more raffle tickets if you wanted. So I donated $600 in Morphlate product to the raffle. So wow. I didn't bring any toys or enter the raffle at all either. But then the raffle was happening up at Uncle Tom's.
Got it. Okay.
So Uncle Tom's hosted. Dave McKinney came up and had the Traeger trailer going. And it was a great time. There was a ton of people there though.
Yeah, I bet.
A lot. But we'll get to that in a sec. So Friday night though, when I got back from driving around the rig, I was like, okay, everything's working beautifully. I'm really ecstatic because also I found out when I had the drivetrain out that my breather for the breather in between the twin sticks for the transfer case
was clogged.
No, it was, that's where gear oil is leaking out of.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I called Trail and they're like, yeah, no, just put less oil in there. And I was like, but I only have it filled up to the fill plug. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, that's the right amount then. I'm like, yeah. So less and less. Yeah.
So eventually it'll stop leaking out.
That's true. Eventually it'll all be gone. So what I did was I found out that I took the breather out and found out that it's threaded for 1/8 NPT.
Okay.
So I have
just screwed a bolt in.
No, I put a 1/8 NPT to 1/4 inch hose barb in it.
Okay.
and then put a 1/4-inch hose off of it, and then ran the hose up under my chassis.
Got it. So you made a extended breather.
I made more or less. Yeah, essentially made an extended breather for the train case.
Did you use Morflate hose?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not exactly oil and fuel rated.
Okay.
So I used a different hose that stands up to oil and fuel a lot better. So I got that up in there, and so far it's not leaking anymore.
I might take that advice and do that on Bobcat, because Bobcat does seem to be the T case. One of the T cases seems to always be wet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not leaking a lot and it like does a drip maybe, but it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I assembled everything correctly. So I'm assuming that it might be
could be coming out of the breather at the twin sticks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so far it seems like there's no more oil coming down the sides of the transfer case anymore.
That's good.
I do have a little bit of oil getting spun out on the bottom of the cab, which means the output seal.
Yeah.
Is not seated properly, because that's a brand new output seal. But I did have issues putting it in, but it's one of those like full on rubber ones from Trail Gear. And it didn't want to stay in its spot as I was installing it. And so I'm like, I don't know if they got the measurements wrong on them or something, but I think I'm going to end up taking that out and putting in a stock one.
Sure.
So anyways, I got that done. I put new transfer case mounts.
Okay.
They're now poly bushings rather than rubber mounts. So those are in, and that helped a lot as well. The drivetrain doesn't shake around nearly as much anymore.
And yours was moving around and you could visibly see it in the cab.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the concern of why you changed out those so that the sticks wouldn't bang your interior?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
So I figured if the sticks are moving around in the cab, then that means other things are moving around, and I don't have a whole lot of clearance between the double cardan and the cross member that's there that I cut up.
Right.
So I was like, I need to eliminate all movement that I can so that I know that the drivetrain stays in the place it should be staying for all the clearances that are down there.
Got it.
So that worked out great as well. And then while I was doing all of that, driving around, I still haven't had any heating issues. But I think I figured out we figured out what the problem is, but I also found out another interesting little tidbit about the 3.4 engines.
Okay.
So I went on a long test drive, like an hour long drive to see if that, but I went up 80.
Okay.
Highway 80, right? Smart. So I got up to pretty much Auburn, where the Highway 49 exit is, and then came back home. And on that trip, my engine, the ECU temperature sensor, for the coolant would get up to like 215 to 218 degrees. And then it would drop to 180, 185.
So
a 30 degree temperature difference.
So that's when your thermostat was happening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what's interesting though, is I have a 190 degree thermostat in there.
Okay.
So for it, so
the sensor isn't near the thermostat.
Not at all. And so, yeah, the sensor, and I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense as I was thinking about it, because the thermostat is on the entrance to the block and the temperature sensor is on the exit of the block. So the coolant has the entire block plus the radiator core to go through before it comes out and gets to the temperature sensor.
Okay.
Which means it's going to be a lot hotter than the thermostat is set for. And so once I kind of like made that connection, and now that I have a water pump that's circulating properly, it was kind of fun to watch the temperature go up to 218, creep, 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 creep to 218, and then drop to 185.
Sure.
And then creep, 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 and then drop.
So I don't think you told anybody about the water pump.
Oh, okay. I did. I didn't redo the water pump. The 3.4, in order to redo the water pump, you have to redo the timing belt as well. And so there's a mechanic right across the street from the warehouse, and I took it over to them on one day and said, hey, here's my vehicle. How confident are you guys in working on it? And they came out and looked at it, and they had their tech come out and look at it. And they're like, man, in order to do this, we need to pull the whole front end off. And I was like, no, you're not going to do that. I was like, there's plenty of room here. The engine is sat back another 2 to 3 inches from what it would be stock. You guys can pull the radiator if you want, if you need, you know, a foot and a half of clearance to work, which I think is what they did. And so they ended up after that, they were like, okay, yeah, no, doing the water pump and the timing belt, no problem. We can get it done. I said, okay. And we came up with a plan and they agreed to do it in a way that I was okay with. And so I brought it back the next morning, dropped it off, walked over to the warehouse, worked all day. And then at the end of the day, walked back over, picked up the rig and drove it home.
Nice.
With the water pump and timing belt done.
Yep. Yep.
And ever since then, the engine hasn't really ever thought about heating up at all other than, you know, creeping up to on the sensors to 218 and then just going down to 185. So once I figured out that my main issue was the water pump, and that now that the water pump is circulating properly, I wanted to get the radiator fan off of the radiator.
Okay.
Because I had removed the fan from the shroud and used those push-through pins.
Yes.
To attach the fan directly to the radiator. And I was like, I don't like that setup. Those pins put a lot of stress on the fins of the radiator. And I was like, I don't want it to end up breaking anything and creating a leak in the cores. And so I ended up taking shroud that I have, since it sits the fan like an inch from the radiator itself. I took the shroud and I cut 4 big holes, 2.5 inches on each corner of the shroud.
Okay. To let the air through.
To let air pass needs.
Yep.
And then put the radiator back in the shroud, put the shroud on the radiator, put the fan back in the shroud, put the shroud on the radiator, hooked it all up. And then I was like, cool, we'll get to test this driving up to Uncle Tom's and heading up the grade tomorrow. So that was all I did Friday.
Dang.
And then busy. Friday morning, I Rain-X'd an anti-fog the 4Runner.
Yeah.
And I did it. And literally like within 2 minutes of finishing, it started dumping rain. And I was like, well, that was good timing.
Yeah. We put Rain-X in the garage like minutes before we were leaving when it was dumping rain already. Mm-hmm. I was like, we have Rain-X, right?
Yeah. That stuff is magical, man.
It is.
If that's probably after the wheeling day Saturday, that is probably the number one thing you can do to your vehicle to get it ready for winter season is Rain-X it, Rain-X the windshield. Second thing is make sure your windshield wipers are good.
Yep. That's always a big thing.
Yes.
Did somebody not check that prior?
There was a few people on the trip that didn't. Okay. Well, I didn't because I was like, I Rain-X'd, so I'm fine. I don't need windshield wipers to be perfectly functional. But you forget that when it's snowing, the windshield wipers, if they don't get a clean seal to the windshield, you end up with a lot of snow buildup on your windshield, which means there's a lot of humidity buildup inside the windshield.
Yes, there is.
Which means you can't see where you're going.
Yep.
So no matter how much anti-fog you put on there. So Saturday came around. We went up to Uncle Tom's, met up in Georgetown. I met up with Justin, Ozzy.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm, and Kelly.
Nice.
So I met up with those two in Georgetown in the morning. And then everybody else that we were supposed to kind of meet throughout the day had gotten there before us. And so they all took off and headed up to Uncle Tom's 15 minutes ahead of us, 20 minutes maybe. But I met up with Ozzy and some other Stellar Built employees.
Was Ozzy in his buggy?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, he brought the Jeep.
That'd be cold.
Yeah, it would have been stupid cold. But Ozzy brought me a present.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a snowsuit, a snowmobile suit.
Really?
Yeah, from FXR.
Okay, that's an awfully good gift.
Right? He apparently used to be a rep for FXR. And by the way, have you ever sat down and talked with Ozzy about stuff he's done in his life for careers?
To a small extent,
yes. Oh my God. I don't know if there's something that guy hasn't done. But anyways, so he'd be a rep for FXR and had a suit that happened to fit me. And he had heard, listening to our recovery episode, he goes, this is what you need if you go on snow recoveries. And to make it even better, it's obnoxiously bright.
Is it like that freaking jacket of yours?
It's worse than the jacket by far.
Oh no, Ozzy.
It's fantastic.
Shit.
So I told Jason and Chris that I have a new suit for KOH to bug them with.
Excellent.
Which will be great because you'll be able to see me from down in the lake bed while I'm up on top of Fisher at nighttime.
So, yeah. Glowing.
Yeah. But anyway, so I put on the suit later in the day after it wasn't raining as much. I didn't have to get my underlayers wet to put it on. And it is amazing.
Oh, I bet.
It's an amazing suit. So I was toasty warm, completely dry all day long, no matter how much rain got dumped on us, no matter how much I went tramping through waist deep snow. And it was cool. So thank you, Ozzy. That was fun.
Nice. So how was the snow?
Snow was amazing. We had roughly a foot and a half to 2 feet of kind of compacted snow from the last storm. And then while we were up there, it was a little warm. We didn't get snow until about 6,500, 7,000 feet. So at Uncle Tom's, it was just raining.
Oh.
Like dumping cold rain, like 38 degree rain.
Dang it.
All day long at Uncle Tom's. And so finally, right around lunchtime, noon, and maybe a little bit before that, 11 a.m., a bunch of guys in our group, because there was a ton of people showing up. And it was, the parking was getting full, and we had been hearing rumors that the exit to Uncle Tom's was getting blocked because people are parking there.
Oh,
and there smart. And then we looked down the entrance, and there's 20 rigs trying to come in still. And so we're like, you know what? Let's see if we can get up to some higher elevation, get into snow rather than this 38 degree rain.
Sure.
And we can also create some parking here. People can have our parking spots, and everyone can enjoy the rest of Uncle Tom's the rest of the day. So we left with, I think, 11 rigs.
Wow.
And headed up Heartless.
Did you go with Rewim?
No.
Did you see him?
Rewim went on his own escapade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went up over to a different part of El Dorado National Forest.
Got it. His freaking podcast is trending higher than ours right now.
I saw that.
I know. Welcome back to the world of cruising to camp and beating us out.
Yeah, he'll have to get Mudrax Custom Cruisers on the show here soon to talk about something going on right now.
Yes. That'd be a good story.
Yes, it will. But yeah. Congrats to Lee for getting season 2 up and running. Yeah. I thought it was a great thumbnail he chose for.
Oh yeah,
the show with
Joey. Absolutely.
Oh man. So yeah, I'm excited to see what kind of other more harebrained ideas he can come up with now for the show. So let's see. We went up Heartless. We didn't run into Lee or Tony.
Tony got a Land Rover.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
Tony?
I don't know.
Tundra, a Land Rover.
Yeah, he.
Thanks for consulting with us, Tony.
The funny part is that he claims he started going down the road of looking for a solid axle rig after riding in my 4Runner through Turkey Claw at King of the Hammers this year, last year, whatever you want to call it. And so I was like, oh, cool. And he said he was going to start looking into solids. And then I heard that he got a Land Rover, and I was like,
I thought he was going to get a solid axle.
Yeah, that doesn't count, Tony. What are you doing? So anyways.
It's like the same as an 80.
No, we got to.
Except worse.
Kind of, yeah. So yeah, we got to.
By the next episode, I expect Don to call in.
Maybe. We'll see if he does. So yeah, man. Heartless was good. Coming down the backside of Heartless, it was finally snowing up on top, but it was super windy all day long Saturday. It was minimum 20, 25 mile an hour winds. Like
I saw they had 100 mile an hour winds up at like Squaw.
Wouldn't surprise me. We were getting gusts up 40 to 50 easy.
There was supposedly a 40 mile an hour gust down here.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, down in the valley.
We were leaving to drive down to the birthday party. They were showing on the news the weather, and then they switched from Doppler to like a map of the wind.
Uh-huh.
And they were showing like 30 mile an hour gusts down in Stockton, 40 mile an hour gusts in Sacramento.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty
down up the hill though, which was odd.
Yeah. It was windy for sure. It was stormy. And going up and over Heartless, you know, at the top there where that little lookout area is, it was crazy windy.
Oh, I bet. You like Ozzie, that. You're at an apex of a mountain.
Ozzy decided to try and go to the bathroom there. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he peed all over himself.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Don't pee into the wind, no. Ozzy.
He's not strong. He doesn't understand that yet.
Yeah.
We'll have to, he'll learn by experience.
Stand on his head to go to the bathroom?
Probably. Yeah. the wind actually swirls the opposite direction here from where it does in Australia. So that's why he didn't get it.
Was he wearing yellow pants?
No, but they ended up being a little yellow.
Okay. So, tinged.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, man. Yeah. So super windy up on Heartless. And so we only stayed there for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, let's get off of here.
Hi, Heartless. Bye, Heartless.
Yeah, bye, guys. So we ended up going down the backside of Heartless, which is always the more fun side for snow wheeling. It's definitely a lot more challenging than the west side. Going down wasn't really too bad at all. I was kind of out in the lead. I caught up. We ended up catching up with everybody. And I ended up where we caught up with everyone was because there was people coming up the backside of Heartless that had gotten stuck. And so we were coming down. And so the whole group was just kind of stopped there. And so I just kind of went around everybody in the powder.
Sure.
And made my way up to the front of the line.
Yeah. Gravity helping.
Exactly. Went around to the front of the line. And while we were there waiting for those cars to get unstuck, that's where I put on the zoot suit.
Yeah.
My very bright zoot suit. And so there was a couple rig. The rig that was stuck was like trying to go through the powder on the low side. And so after he got tucked, I just drove right through his hole that he had made and gotten stuck in from the top side. And I was like,
you had gravity.
I had fresh Yokohama 40s is what I had.
That too. And he was probably on flat Milestar Patagonias.
He was on, I don't know, some like maybe all terrain 31s or 32s.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah. In a stock third gen 4Runner, I think it was. So anyways, I went through, and then once I kind of pulled through, the rest of our group came on through 11 rigs, went on down Heartless, got over to Ice House Road. And then we're like, well, what now? It's not even really like noon yet. And so we went up to the chalet.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Turned left
all the way up there, huh?
Left and headed up to the chalet, and every corner I could, every chance I got, I put it into a four-wheel burnout and drifting around the corners.
Nice.
So that was a lot of fun.
So does that mean that the Yokohamas are slippery?
It means that the road was just freshly plowed.
You needed some of those spiked tires.
Mm-hmm. But it was fun going up through there. So we got up to the chalet.
They plowed all the way up to the chalet?
Yep. Yeah. The plow line is just past the chalet right before the dam.
Okay.
Yeah. We got up there. They didn't plow in the chalet parking lot though, which they usually do. But they didn't have it plowed at all. So we stopped in the chalet parking lot and had lunch there. And while we were having lunch there, it finally started turning to snow.
Oh,
that's when it started getting cold enough to stop the rain.
As you went over Heartless and started coming down, it became rain again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we finally got a bunch of snow, cold enough for snow out at the chalet, had lunch there, and our friend Peggy from the Forest Service showed up.
Okay.
And she just kind of showed up and was like, what are you guys doing here? And we're like, just hanging out, playing in the snow. She goes, okay, cool. Be safe. Don't be like the other people that are trying to camp out here tonight. And we're like, why not? Mm-hmm. What if we want to camp out here?
Yeah.
She goes, I don't know. You guys are crazy. And we're like, yeah, we know. And she's like, okay, have a good one. We're like, okay, bye, Peggy.
Did she remember you?
Nope.
Okay.
Yep. I don't think she remembered any of us from that trip. Yeah.
Was anybody that was on that trip with you?
Yeah. Dylan, me and Dylan pretty much were. Yeah. And both of us were the ones talking to her too.
Okay.
So, and Ryan was talking to her as well. Yeah. So we had lunch there. After lunch, we decided, let's see if we can go around and get to McKinstry Lake.
And so where is that from the chalet?
You have to go all the way back down to the Wentworth Springs turnoff that goes up to Airport Flats.
Yep.
You go up past Airport Flats all the way around past your favorite road that goes into Wentworth Springs Campground.
Yep. Least favorite road. Yep.
Least favorite road, whatever. And keep going up that way. It's the road that we tried to go up on the listener run and kept encountering all the snow bridges.
Got it.
And we turned around on. So we went up towards McKinstry, and we got about halfway up to McKinstry by about 3 p.m. And then right around 3, a couple of the guys in the group were like, I'm almost out of gas. And we're like, you went through a full tank of gas already? And they're like, no, I never filled up today. We're like, why did you come here then?
Yeah, right.
So they were running low on gas. The storm was really starting to pick up. We reached a spot where we were all, I mean, the front of the pack was just plowing new tracks the whole time. And the sun was going down, you know, 3 o'clock. So we just said, you know what? This is probably a good spot to turn around. We found a relatively wide spot. And so we started packing in the wide spot to turn around. And I was packing down a little spot. And I got to where I was going to start going backwards to just start going. And then
forward and back,
get turned
forward
around and forward and back, forward and back to
Austin
pack it down.
Austin Powers it.
Yeah. So one of the guys goes, oh, you've got like 6-10 more feet in front of your rig if you want to keep going forward. And I was like, okay. So I went forward like a foot and I could just feel the whole front end of the rig just sink.
You fell into the ditch.
I fell into a ditch or a hole or something. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And I tried to back up and I wasn't going anywhere. Nothing was happening. So we ended up digging me out. 3-4 other people got stuck at that same spot. And the problem was that it was just right on the temperature from going to snow to rain, right?
Okay.
Earlier in the day. So all the snow that was down was really wet. So as soon as you spun a tire, it just created an ice slick under your tire. There's right. no way you're getting traction back again. Hmm. And so we ended up having 4 or 5 rigs kind of do that where they weren't really stuck. They weren't hung up on anything, but they couldn't get traction.
Right.
Because there's just an ice slick right under yeah. their tires.
It was like when we were going up that road during the patron event mm-hmm. and there was that one little off camber yes. hill that we had to climb. That uh-huh. was, it was nothing of a hill.
Nope.
It was just solid ice. So nobody, you didn't gain any traction going up it.
Uh-huh.
You had momentum and then you sort of just slid down. uh-huh. Yep. Okay.
Yep. That almost exact same scenario, same type of snow. And so literally it just came down to, we had 2 or 3 guys get on one end of the vehicle and push the vehicle a little bit to get out of that little snow slick it had created. And then you got traction again
right.
until you spin again. And so I ended up having to get strapped out of my hole that I was in. And we got everybody turned around. It took us about 45 minutes
sure.
to get all the rigs turned around. And then we started heading on down the hill. And I was like, that was good timing. Because it was getting to the point where I couldn't keep my windows cleared anymore and nobody could.
Because of the snow was falling that hard.
The snow was falling that hard. And so defrosters weren't able to keep up inside the vehicles. Everybody's drenched. And so there's so much humidity inside the vehicles too.
You're driving with the windows down.
Pretty much. Like you're driving with the windows down, which is just bringing in more snow. You've got heat on as high blast as you can go. You've got somebody had a squeegee with them. They're like, hey, this is working out pretty good. They're just squeegee the inside of their windshield really oh every 2 minutes. I was having to wipe my windshield down with my hand every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I had to stop 4-5 times on the way out to clear the snow out from that was building up between my hood and my windshield wipers.
Sure.
So that the windshield wipers could go all the way down. And it was really interesting because the Rain-X was causing none of the water to really stick to the windshield. But my windshield wipers weren't getting a good seal on the windshield because they were cold. And so they were just kind of pushing the water around on my windshield rather than clearing it off of the windshield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your wipers froze.
Yeah, pretty much. And so that was an interesting thing I hadn't experienced before, just pushing water around on my windshield rather than it clearing off of the windshield before. But it's a damn good thing we got and we decided to turn around when we did. Because the Aussie listened to the NOAA weather station on our way down, and the weather was reporting something like 2 to 2.5 feet of snow within the next 2 hours.
Dang.
Where we were at. And so we're like, okay, it's probably a good spot to get out of there.
Yeah.
At. So that was a good timing to get out of there. Good call on everybody's part to agree to turn around there and go. And yeah, it dumped a lot of snow. We all kind of went our separate ways once we got back down to the plow line. Some of us went down Highway 50. Some of us went back up to Georgetown and through Heartless and Uncle Tom's. And I don't know if I've driven the 4Runner in that thick of rain coming down Icehouse Road before.
Have you driven the 4Runner in that hard of rain anywhere?
I want to say no, but I probably have. That was some heavy rain.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. And so Ozzy and I traveled together down to 50, and then we ended up stopping and going to the Main Street Tap House in Placerville.
Okay.
Which nice. Is the old Jack Russell Brewery.
The only Jack Russell Brewery I've been to is like out away from Main Street, mm-hmm. Placerville. It's like inland.
That's the actual brewery itself. So they used to have a tap room for the brewery in Placerville that Got they would it. Had a kitchen and everything for. And it's still like the exact same setup. It still has the exact same feel and features and same menu. And
interesting. As many dogs on the wall.
Uh-huh.
They just changed the name.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened there, but it's still amazing food. Great beer selection. Well worth a stop for burgers if you're coming down Highway 50 from the snow back down into the Sac Valley. So we stopped there, had a great time. Got to learn more about Ozzy's very colorful past. And then we called it a day, and we went on home and went our separate ways and went and contemplated life once I got home. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was making fun of you all.
Yeah.
When I was driving down to the San Francisco area, Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
all these people are going up to the mountain in this giant storm. Mm-hmm. Like, it's freaking crazy. I mean, I don't even want to be driving in the rain down to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And people are going up into the mountains, into the snow, where it's slightly more dangerous because mm-hmm. it's easy for me to get stuck in muddy air, you know, a mud slocked side of the freeway,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be a lot of people around,
mm-hmm.
but you're going up into the middle of nowhere, you mm-hmm. know, where there's a bunch of off-roaders, but you know, you can very easily get yourself isolated and alone. Mm-hmm. And there was a big storm coming.
Yeah. Big. It was a big storm. So that trip is probably the second worst conditions I've ever snow wheeled in.
Cool.
It was, I loved it. I loved every single minute of it. 100%, especially with my new Zoot suit. I was warm. I was dry. I was toasty. It was fantastic. I forgot my snow goggles though.
Bummer.
So that was a bummer, but I absolutely loved it. But it was rough. That was extreme conditions.
Yeah.
So yeah, that storm ended up dumping Saturday. I want to say that the tally was about three and a half feet of snow in total on Saturday. And then over the night on Saturday, it dropped another 3 to 4 feet.
Dang.
So it got anywhere from 5 to 8 feet of snow, depending on the elevation, just in those 2 days that storm brought in.
Wow.
So it was a little bit of a warmer storm. So like it was kind of higher up in elevation that the snow got to. There's some awesome, awesome snow up in the Sierras right now.
Well, and that, and fortunately for us, this week is so cold
mm-hmm.
that it's not melting anytime soon.
Nope.
So if people want to get out there and play, please be responsible, but now's mm-hmm. a great time.
Now's a great time. We got sunny weather for the week, just cold, but sunny. So day trips up to the snow right now during the weekdays, during the weekend is going to be beautiful as well. So we were looking at going in and possibly putting together a group to go get that XJ off the Rubicon.
Yeah. I looked at, somebody posted up something in a chat that we're in. Mm-hmm. It's a ZJ.
Oh, okay.
At least that's what the thread said.
Interesting.
The post on Facebook, I'm pretty sure said ZJ, which is a Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
Still a Cherokee.
That's a good question. I just know it has 35, a Dana 35 rear and a 30 in the front.
Yes. So,
yeah. With lower control arm issues too. But yeah, we were looking at going up and getting it, making a plan to do some snow camping this weekend, but we were going to go in through Wentworth Springs.
Correct.
Because going through the bowl right now would be very interesting with how much snow is there. But if you go through Wentworth Springs, a lot easier. Except there's a group of 8 rigs currently stuck in Wentworth Springs.
Trying to get out.
Trying to get out because they went in on Thursday or Friday and decided to stay intentionally through the storm. And they were semi-prepared with supplies, but not prepared with vehicle capabilities.
Well, yeah. I also don't think they were prepared for the storm that hit them.
Yeah. I don't know if they just didn't do their research to know the storm that coming in. Cause there was, there was a lot of words around and news around the storm was going to be extreme.
Yes.
So I don't know if they just didn't do their research or they underestimated it or what, but yeah, that has turned into a fun situation now that I'm working on dealing with a few key individuals, Nick Bailey, Avalanche Technical, who appeared over on the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast. We're working with him and a few others to make sure that those guys all end up out of there safe. But it's a frustrating situation. We'll talk about that in a future episode here. So yeah, that's kind of been the weekend.
But anyway, in regards to all of that, we've got a group that's where you guys were planning on going in to go, or us, I'm on the fence, but where we were all planning on going in to get that XJ or ZJ, whatever it is out on the Rubicon, that thing's now probably buried in at least 7 feet of snow.
Yep.
And there's a group that's trying to get out that is, and they're having a difficult time getting out where we even want to try to go in.
Yeah.
And so, and they're at least one of the people in that group is an experienced off-roader. And they're having a really hard time even moving.
Yeah.
And so for us to go all the way in to pretty much Little Sluice would be a hell of a feat. And then to fix a vehicle, then to get it out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking that rig's staying all winter now.
I do too, but we're still going to give it a go and see how far we can get, mainly because we love snow wheeling and snow camping. So we're like, it'll be a fun adventure no matter what.
Yeah.
With very experienced and equipped vehicles and people. So sure.
We do have a good 7 to 10 days of sun ahead of us.
Yep.
So, go on day 9 and hope that it gets easier.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of the hope and the plan as of right now. And, plans are quickly morphing because of this Wentworth Springs issue with the 8 rigs. And, we'll tell you guys more about that situation on a future episode here. Once the situation hopefully gets resolved.
Yeah.
Kind of how it all happens here. So,
the status has changed to, it's more important to help people than it is a broken vehicle.
100%. Yes. So yeah, that was my weekend, kind of what I've been up to. Some of the updates with the rig. The 4Runner is running beautifully right now, except my stereo is shorting out somewhere. So I keep losing music.
Bummer.
I know, it's annoying.
You know what's going to go out next? That air conditioner.
Nope, never. Better not. So yeah, quick review on the Yokohamas.
Yeah, bring it on.
I was very happy with their performance. I didn't really come across any situations that I wasn't able to handle, except for that spot where I went 1 foot too far and just fell into a hole and had to get strapped backwards. I do think I was at 4 PSI.
Okay. I was going to ask where.
Yeah. I was at 4 PSI.
What PSI you were at. Okay.
And they weren't ballooning out as much as I wanted. Oh. They were clearing their tread just fine, but they weren't really ballooning out.
Okay.
So I still had plenty of traction, but I was sinking and plowing more than I wanted to. So I think if I go down to, I'm going to try the next trip out. I'm going to go down to 1 or 2 PSI and see what how much of a pooch or a ballooning I get on the tires and see if that helps with the flotation. But so far in snow, the treads and the tire behaves exactly how I want a snow tire to behave.
Cool.
It clears the tread. The tread does not get packed in. And you get a ton of traction out of that tire in the snow.
Sweet. That's good news.
It is good news.
So you give A+ 2 thumbs up, would buy again.
So far. Yeah. I'm giving it an A- right now.
Oh, okay.
It'll get only an A+ from me if it'll end up pooching out the way I want it to down at 1 to 2 PSI.
Well, so, maybe you shouldn't have had such a high load rating tire.
And that's the thing. They don't make the tire in a C load rating. It's a D only on the 40s.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, then you just need to put more sandbags in your truck.
I need to make it heavier.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I'm really curious about. I think that I packed the 4Runner too much. I think that I have a heavier rig than I really want to. But at the same time, I mean, I had a hard time getting the Patagonias to pooch out, and they were load range C. And these guys, I'm getting the Yokohamas down to 4 PSI and they're not pooching the way I would expect a tire to pooch at 4 PSI. So I really want to scale the 4Runner. I've never scaled it before.
I wonder if they just have thick sidewalls.
They're 3-ply.
Maybe their 3-ply is 3 thick plies.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So anyways, I need, essentially what I'm trying to say is I need more snow wheeling so I can test the tires more.
Got it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it means.
So you going up tomorrow?
I don't know yet. I got to figure out if we can talk the leader of the group into accepting the help that we are trying to provide.
Sure.
So if he says yes, then yeah, I'm going up there. I may just go up there anyways, just to get eyes on the obstacle that's keeping people out of the trail from our side. There's a pretty big water hole that it may or may not be being caused from a tree being down that's causing an overflow and a flooding of a nearby creek into the trail. Or there's a big snow bridge there because of the water is moving and the water bars weren't built correctly, or a combination of both. So I think we just need to get eyes on it there. And I may end up going doing that tomorrow, whether or not the group accepts help from us. So at least we know what that obstacle is that we're looking at.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I want more snow wheeling.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I need to get up and try it. But man, all this talk of going to rescue a vehicle, maybe going to rescue some people, I'm like, going to rescue these people sounds like it's going to be a feat. And yeah. I've been second guessing if Bobcat's even up to that task. And I don't like going to rescue a vehicle. I think it could be up to that task, but going to rescue these people where it's more of a, I don't want Bobcat to be a hindrance for a possible situation that could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few things that I could do to Bobcat pretty quick that I think would move it out of the area that could possibly slow us down.
Mm-hmm.
And that really comes
49s.
Down. 49s.
49s.
Yeah, exactly. That would be one of them. No, really. It's just put the bumper on properly.
Yeah.
Instead of the few bolts that are kind of on there.
Mm-hmm.
Cut better holes, put in weld washers, whatever I have to do, and bolt it better to the vehicle than what the bumper is allowing me to do now.
Mm-hmm.
For those that, you know, if you're just catching this episode and you haven't heard other things or some of the issues from the past, the bumper came off of a third gen Toyota pickup, which Bobcat is. Uh-huh. But when I put the bumper up against Bobcat, the bolt holes don't line up.
Yeah,
there's holes. Some holes do, some holes don't. It's very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then a winch. I think if you know, I definitely need something on the front for support for other people primarily, but also just in case for myself.
Yeah,
and I felt a long time that like I don't need a winch. I'm fine. You know, I've never had an issue, but all I've ever really done is rock crawling.
Yeah.
And I don't really need a winch for that. You know, I usually am with other people, you know, I can pick my lines really well. Bobcat's a phenomenal rock crawler.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get into trouble, there's somebody around there that can throw a strap on. But a lot of times in the snow, there's multiple rigs that are probably stuck and you need a strong bumper and a good strong winch to get you out of a situation. And I didn't feel that Bobcat is a task.
Yeah. And in my opinion, you're not truly snow wheeling unless winches are getting pulled out, my opinion. So
we just had some visitors come by and they were like, I was snow wheeling, even though it wasn't snowing. I was snow wheeling. Yeah. There's snow on the ground.
Yep.
And that's like, no, the winch has to come out.
Yeah.
Snow wheeling until you pull that winch line.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, we got out. We got stuck a couple of times, but we got ourselves out. And I was like, that's good. You're not wheeling until you're getting stuck.
Right.
And they were like, kind of looked at me a little funny and I was like, yeah.
But yeah, but. I need to fix, there's an inner axle seal on the front that I want to fix. And I really want to put that bumper on and a winch on if I'm going to go do a rescue. Those are things that I feel like I have to have done.
Yeah. 100%. So yeah, we'll get everybody updated on the Wentworth Springs rescue scenario probably next Thursday. It should be all finished. If it's not finished up by all Thursday, we're going to be picking up bodies instead of people. So
yeah.
Yeah, we'll get you guys all updated on how all this came to fruition and how the efforts go here. in the meantime, I guess just hang out. Hopefully everybody has a great weekend. Go out, enjoy some snow recreation, some winter rec. And hopefully everybody's gearing up to have a great holiday couple weeks here.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Be safe.
For sure. So I guess, Jimmy, how do people get a hold of us if they wanted to? I know we talked a little bit at the beginning of the episode where we hang out.
Well, you can definitely find us on social media. We're over on Instagram. Tyler's at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. I'm Snail Trail 4x4. Tyler occasionally checks out the Morphlate Instagram. Probably occasionally. Not. And I watch over the Snail Armor one as well. Mm-hmm. You can also email us, Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. Or you can phone in and leave us a message. Do we have a voicemail?
We do have a voicemail. Yeah.
Do we want to do it now or wait to next week?
Let's see. We can probably do it now.
But if you want to phone in and leave us a message like this one, is it Donnie already of us making fun of Land Rovers?
We did get a missed call from him already. Oh, so, wow.
That's impressive.
Yep.
That phone number is 916-345-4744.
Sweet. This one actually, I want to listen to it. It looks like it's some information about kegerators.
Oh.
And CO2 usage on your kegs.
Good. Somebody knows better than I do.
Yeah. So let's listen to what he has to say here. I'm really looking forward to this because this is something that we specifically, I think, asked him to call in. I think it's the same guy. So
cool. Perfect.
Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, it's Craig. I was bat signaled. So you probably need a calculator for your beer line and pressure. Look up all my keg experiences with homebrew. So it's a little different, but you can look it up. Try like 12, 10, 12, 15. But it's dependent on your, beer line and like the inner diameter. So just plug it in there. You'll figure that out. And part of the reason why your beer is so thick is because the puree or whatever fruit they use all settles to the bottom. So you're going to have a few, thick boy milkshakes and then it'll calm down. But, next time you need me, put up the beer signal. Thanks. Keep growing.
Why don't we have a beer signal?
We should.
I know, right?
Snail beer signal. For sure. Well, that's cool. So supposedly, I guess there's a formula out there to tell you what PSI you should be running.
Yeah. How long your line is and the ID of the line. So
That's cool.
It seems to be running great. Now, just like he said, the thickness should clear up and it has been clearing up for sure. And it seems like we get more. So I had the fridge set at like, it seems to be either like 29 degrees or like 35 degrees. I can't get it in between those two. And so at 35 degrees, it definitely comes out more foamy. Whereas if I put it at 29 degrees, it comes out like crystal clear almost each time. Yeah. So yeah, temperature, line length. And I have it set at about 11 to 12 PSI right now. So
did you seal the holes where the lines come out of the fridge?
I did not.
If you did that, you probably would be able to control it a little better.
Yeah, probably the case. We'll see. Yeah. I've got four lines coming out of one hole. So that's really the only stop giggling over there, Jimmy.
Sorry. I was just thinking of four beers, one koozie. Okay.
Fair.
That was my best hashtag ever.
Oh yeah. That's funny. The keg has been awesome having it. I've been having at least one glass a day, pretty much.
There you go. I need to get one of those for whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We make it happen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Cool. Anyways, that's all we got for today's episode. Hope everybody enjoyed it. You guys know how to get a hold of us. We already went over that. So I guess without further ado, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody?
Don't forget, you can send us Christmas presents.
I like that one. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
What do snowmen eat for breakfast?
I don't know what.
Ice Krispies.
Mm. Okay.